want to welcome everybody to this month's episode of The Green Side. The Green Side is a collaboration of a THP radio show between the Hackers Paradise and our friends at PutterZone.com, and is hosted by yours truly, JB, and Sean from PutterZone.com. I want to welcome Sean. He's with me each and every month. How are you?
I'm doing great, Josh. How about you?
Good. Now, we have a lot to talk about in this show. It's kind of packed full, so I won't dilly-dally around. I haven't used that phrase in a while. But I did want to give you a quick plug because on your site you have a really good interview, and I'll let you go into it.
Yeah, it's been a quest of mine to interview Stan Utley, who is a leading short game and putting guru. And we finally connected and did an interview, and it was extremely interesting and gratifying to speak with him. He's really a cool guy and has a lot of good things to say. So I really recommend that people check it out and kind of see what he has to say about putters and putting.
I do too. It's a good read, and I strongly recommend Stan. He's a fascinating man. If nothing else, whether you agree with his philosophies or not, he's fascinating with his history.
Yeah, and he has so much to offer, and yet he has this sort of trademark humility that really came through, and it's a cool combination. He's a true expert, and yet he comes across as real humble and down home, and that made it even more joyful to speak with him.
Now, jumping ship, so to speak, last show we talked about Yes Putters and what we were looking for in their relaunch and everything else. And they're basically relaunched now, or relaunching, I should say. What are your thoughts on what you've seen so far?
What I've seen is what I would say is a baby step for Yes. Under Adams Golf, they acquired the brand about 3.5 months ago. And so what they're releasing in the market is, I think, sort of a, it's just a first step. And I think it's some of the existing models that they sort of had already in their wheelhouse. And so they're kind of taking that baby step. But from what I understand, they're going to be ramping up pretty seriously toward the end of the year with brand new models.
Well, I wish we had a rewind machine here because I'd like to bring us back to that last episode briefly and talk about what we thought they both needed to do, which is, shrink down the thing from 78 list of names and models to, a shorter, compact list and everything else. But I got to tell you, I was a fan of Yes Putters, and I'm a fan of Adams Golf. I don't care for what's going on here. The relaunch was small, which I think it should have been a grander scale on Adam's radar. And the Yes website's not even up yet. I mean, it's there, but it's still what's new in 2010, which tells you a lot. The models look like they're just the inventory they bought. And with the prices where they are, it's going to be hard for people to fathom spending that on a putter when they can buy it from the existing inventory that was out for $49 that we're seeing everywhere online. So I don't know. I'm not thrilled with how it's going down. I hope things change as they move forward and update the website and everything else.
Yeah. I don't really know what's going on in terms of, inventory and assets and things like that, but I agree. It kind of looks like perhaps that's what's happening. But, I spoke with Blair Phillip, who's their putter guy, who's actually with Yes, and I think that's a really positive sign that they brought him on board, because
Agreed.
To me it shows that they want to, nurture that brand legacy by bringing someone who's been there and done it to sort of lead their putter operations. And speaking with him, it sounds like they're really aggressive about building a new putting lab and bringing out some brand new models later this year. So, I kind of agree with you regards to the website and sort of this been there, done that feeling.
Yeah, it just
the lack of grandeur of the current release. But that said, I'm pretty hopeful after speaking with Blair that we're going to see a shift down the line. But
well, I hope so, because right now it seems to me that this release is nothing more than recouping money.
Mm-hmm.
And I hold Yes and Adams in a higher regard than that. And I look forward to it. And maybe for me, I would have held off on a launch, at least from the press angle, till the website's up, till you have a couple of new models, and then put the older models in there. But they have to recoup money, and I get that. They just spent a lot of money on Yes.
So what you're saying is it's kind of like when a restaurant does a quiet opening and tries to work out the kinks. They do it quietly. And what you're saying is they came out with this big announcement. So it's sort of a loud, quiet opening, and you kind of got to do one or the other.
Well, yeah, they came out with it, and they haven't made a big splash. It's not like we've seen commercials on TV or in you know, major publications, but they did launch the Yes brand again through mm-hmm. press releases, and the Yes brand isn't really being relaunched. You know, the putters are older models. The website has not been updated, and there's really no information other than, hey, you can now pay more for an older putter. And yeah. I don't think that sits well with consumers. I shouldn't say it's my perspective as much as if you read through the THP forum and comments that we've had on it, it's the perspective of the consumers, and it's turning them off a little bit.
Yeah, well, what I hope and what I'm happy about is that they are back, and if they can sort of right the ship through these stormy waters that you're talking about, I am happy with the contraction of these different putter brands, like Slotline, it seems like Rife, you know, the Nikent brand with its putters, just options have been shrinking from the sort of the larger retail market. And so, you know, fingers crossed, in 9 to 12 months, we're going to see sort of a refreshed Yes. And that can only be good for the market if we have really strong models from them that give golfers more options.
And that I fully agree with, because the more choices, obviously, and that's what we preach here, the better off you are.
Yeah.
Speaking of our last show, we talked a little bit about never compromising the gambler line and how, you know, we had some custom gamblers that we did and the mycustomputter.com and how amazing I think that website is. And ironically, I still use it all the time, mess around with it. Well, it just so happens that we got ourselves a little sneak preview of our own, don't we?
Yeah, just arrived yesterday.
Mine as well. And that is the never compromise Dinero line.
Yeah, I'm running out of superlatives for what Never Compromise is doing this year, but these are another home run.
Worst comes to worst, you can do what we hear a lot, which is buttery. That seems to be the term that everybody talks about. It's buttery.
That putter is buttery.
The Dinero line is the second line in the new launch from Never Compromise. We both thought they hit a home run with the Gambler. In fact, I don't think I've read a single negative thing about the Gambler anywhere. That's how strong it is. The Dinero is an evolution, not a revolution. It's an evolving of the second label, and it's based on, you know, the money aspect, the Dinero. And man, oh man, it's cool.
They say drive for show, putt for Dinero, right?
That's what they say.
yeah,
I got to tell you before you go into it. I'm a gambler straight guy. I love my gambler straight. Everything about the hosel, the head, everything about it says confidence. As soon as these came in and I took a look and I rolled one, I wanted it in the bag from the design alone.
Yeah, such is life, isn't it?
It really is.
Another temptation arrives at the doorstep.
I kind of feel like that guy in Big Love. in a horrible way, considering tomorrow's my anniversary. All these temptations, and I'm not going to cheat on the straight yet. Let's put it that way.
You're going to hear Velcro here as I open it up. This
that's not your old Ocean Pacific wallet from 1986.
This is the Tycoon Dinero, and I am love at first sight.
I'm
and
a
right
big
next
fan
to it
tycoon.
Is my custom gambler, and I'm looking at this Tycoon, and I'm like,
"Can
oh
you
boy.
Go through the models for the people? Since we're basically drooling into the microphones at this point, can you go through the models and explain what each one looks like?"
Yes, I can. You might have to hear more Velcro as I do that. And by the way, that's the only thing I would wish for is magnetic closures on these righteous-looking head covers.
And ironically, I agree. Not only with that, but on the other flip side of that, the head covers are so good. They look so good.
Oh, they're so cool looking. Yeah. And another thing that I really have to talk about, because I've just been bitching and moaning about it for so long, are these colorful shaft bands on the front of the shaft below the grip that most companies put on there. And to me, visually, it's just a distraction. If some big logo, bright shaft band is right beneath my hands. And this is even on these putters that you know are shrieking that they're all about alignment and all about creating a visual, an ideal optical environment, and you have this noisy shaft band. Well, Never Compromise has put the shaft band on the other side of the shaft, underneath the backside of the grip. And I just think that's brilliant.
It really is, and that's one of the things I noticed. It's
how
the little
cool. They're
things.
Thinking through everything.
It's the little things that get you. But I won't interrupt as you rip open Velcro.
Okay.
And
all
make
right.
everybody jealous.
Okay, so we have the Mogul, which is a heel-shafted mid-mallet. And then
for
there
those
is,
that don't know heel-shafted mid-mallet, give us an example of what number 9 from an Odyssey, something like that.
Yeah, off the top of my head, yeah, I think that would be it. But I haven't committed all those Odyssey numbers to. But basically, the shaft is running toward the heel. That when you balance it on your finger, the toe is nearly fully down. And mid-mallet is just a term for a small mallet, mm-hmm. sort of between a large mallet and a blade.
And that's then the Mogul.
We've got the Exec, which is similar to the Gambler Royal mm-hmm. in that it's a heel-toe weighted blade with a classic plumber's neck hosel, but the lines are softer. It's more of a round cornering on the head. So that's what differentiates it from that Gambler model. And then we have the Tycoon that I'm in love with, and the Baron. And the Baron is a heel-toe weighted blade too, similar to the other one I just mentioned, but it has a slant neck hosel.
And I'm a big fan of the slant neck hosel. Now, what designs differentiate on each one since you have the Velcro off? Describe the look of them.
Yeah, it's like the Gambler in that they have all these playful symbols with each model having its sort of own unique visual take on the theme. And I find that to be really cool. Like, what's interesting is the Baron has this sort of prototype banner written on it and sort of these 0303. I think they're copying like currency.
Yeah, that's exactly.
And it
what
says
it looks
no
like to me.
EXP dot. Maybe we could make that a contest. Like someone could tell me what that signifies.
We might have to do that. We might have to put something up about that.
No EXP. I would think experience expiration.
That would be my guess is expiration personally.
Okay.
But we might have to do something around these putters.
Yeah, so like on the hosel of the slant neck, you have all these sort of like money symbols, and it's kind of almost got a Tomb Raider look to it.
Yeah, it's got, I believe the yen symbol is heavily on there.
Yeah, and like the British pound, and yeah, it's just, it's fun, it's cool, it's elegant, it's
now,
like the Gambler.
Here's a question for you with my custom putter. Do you think we'll have the Dinero line on there, or do you think these are kind of set?
I don't know.
I don't either. And I'm not, as cool as I love the My Custom Putter with the Gambler, these look really good as is.
Yeah, on the bumpers, I could see maybe, engraving and things like that. I do hope that even if they don't have the full suite of customization that they're offering with the Gambler, that they at least have the personal fitting options.
Yes.
So that you can specify your lie angle and your loft, and your grip size. I think that is the new frontier for golfers, is figuring out the best fit. And they have taken charge of that, as have Seymour and Peretti and others who are
now
offering options.
Do you have a preference between the two, the Gambler or the Dinero? I'm putting you on the spot here.
Oh, boy. Yeah. How about you?
Right now.
This Tycoon is like jumping out at me. Like, I love the Gambler Royal, but now I'm looking at this Tycoon and sort of like,
The Mogul to me is just a beautiful, beautiful putter. It has every line and everything that I love in a putter, and the design, the Dinero design itself is absolutely incredible. Obviously we could sit and drool over these for the rest of the show, but the listeners do obviously want to hear some other topics. So I will leave them with my feedback, which is the pictures are coming on the THP forum. They're up now, and you guys can take a look for yourself and let us know what your thoughts are, as well as obviously you'll be able to see some stuff on putterzone.com. What are your thoughts overall? Do you think they hit another home run with the Dinero line?
Yeah, I do. I'm just still sort of absorbing the Gambler, so here are these coming. I'm like, whoa, You know, in a lot of ways, it's sort of an extension of the Gambler, in that there's a lot of thematic similarities between the putters in terms of sort of that design ethic that they've created. You know, I kind of see them as almost like brother and sister.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like a new baby has been born to the same family. And I love them both.
Yeah, you know, I if it were me, and it's not, and I'm sure the release reasons are there for, you know, their own reasons, I would have liked to see them spread it out a few months.
I agree.
But I also know that when the pictures leaked of the Dinero, and when Never Compromise put those pictures out, people were drooling over it, and a lot of people were waiting on the Gambler and not jumping in because they wanted to see how the Dinero turned out. Mm-hmm. So for that aspect,
yeah, that's a good point.
I understand, you know, getting that in as well. I've never seen a transformation from a company overnight like this, from the X-Ray last year to the Gambler Dinero this year. And I look forward to what's coming in the future from them. Now, switching gears a little bit, a company that we haven't really talked much about in all of our shows that we've done is Bocchieri Golf, and the heavy putter in particular. Now, they have new lines out that we've both experimented with a little bit. And first off, what is your thoughts on heavy putter in general?
It goes into what I said earlier about having options. And I think the heavy putter is a great option for some golfers. And I love the idea of it being there. And I love what Stephen Bocchieri has done to bring this to the market. I've talked to him. He's an extremely passionate and dedicated guy, very innovative. I get the feeling he thinks about this stuff like day and night.
Like you and I do.
Yeah. Yeah,
except
but
he's
with
far
sort
better
of a with a sort of real scientific mind, and you know, is it for everyone? I can't say that, but I appreciate and admire kind of what they've done to bring a different type of club to the market. And now with their wedges and drivers, and you checked out the driver, right?
Yeah, I actually found the driver quite good in my brief testing, and I'll say this. If a brand that's a larger OEM brand comes out in 2012 with the amazing new counterweight system, you know, X13, whatever you want to call the driver, it would be an absolute sales success, in my opinion. However, it's not for everybody. And the good news is, you know, the heavy folks, that sounds so wrong, but they know it's not. My fear, I have two fears with the company going forward. One is counterweighting in general is getting very customizable, and is it easier for somebody to drop something in the end of a grip than it is with the actual club purchasing it that way? And is the name a turnoff for a lot of people when so many of the larger companies are marketing going light?
Yeah, that's a very good point. The word heavy does conjure up perhaps something that might feel laborious or heavy.
Exactly.
I think that's why they've gone to the moniker Control Series, which I think it really speaks to sort of the features and benefits of these clubs.
And they are slowly transitioning to the Bocchieri Golf
right.
label rather than
right.
the heavy label. I always found it kind of that whole oxymoron of the heavy putter lightweight series. I don't know why that was hysterical to me, but I always did. I actually really liked that putter. My favorite of the line was the midweight series, and I'm glad their continuation into this new line is kind of focused on the midweight. Why don't you tell everybody kind of what you're trying out right now and what your thoughts are?
Yeah, I've got the Q2 midweight tour putter, which is a heel-shafted plumber's neck blade, and I think the total weight on this is 700 grams. But I think what's important for people to know, and you alluded to it earlier, was sort of the counterweighting in the grip end of the club. So, yes, the head of this putter is heavier, but there's also a weight in the grip end which raises the balance point. So, if you just had this really heavy head on the end of a standard shaft and grip, it would feel sort of out of control as you swing it. But that counterweight, even though the club is 700 grams, raises the balance point and makes it easier to control. And that's sort of the whole premise of all of their clubs. And I think there's merit to that.
What do you – now, describe the new line, because it is kind of very different from what they've done in the past.
Well, from what I understand, that what they're releasing now are sort of just extensions of the midweight, but this Tour has, you know, it's kind of tricked out with a polished sole and a polished bumper. And
the polished sole is awesome looking, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, this is definitely one of the best looking clubs they've put out. And I find that the feel on this is perhaps based on prior experience with some of their other models, definitely at the top for them in terms of the feel.
Now, it is made differently, I believe, than their other heads.
Yes, this is the Tour one is milled. So that's another aspect to this club that I think adds to the sort of the selling points of it. So I think they've got a really nice club for people who want to embark on sort of the heavy putter journey and who want a club that really looks nice and feels nice and gives you that confidence and the feel of a milled putter. So I think they're kind of taking it to the next level with this Tour series. This is sort of
that's kind of my take on it. Is this is and this is so not the right way to do it. It's going to sound negative towards their original lines, which I did not feel were all that negative. But this is kind of heavy putter 2.0 for me.
Yeah.
Not to take a connotation from another company, but it's the putter itself is an evolved version for those people who love the milled faces and the polished sole. And a different look, more of a tour or premium look to it. This is an option, and it's an option at a pretty affordable price.
Yeah, I think it's $199.
$199.
Yeah, and you're right. Some of the earlier releases had this sort of industrial look, and in particular the Deep Face line. It didn't, you know, aesthetically, I think it fell short. And so I think
that's
what they're doing
kind.
Is. They're bringing it sort of all together. And the midweight is maybe a little more friendly than the original really heavy putters that they had, I think, were 900 grams total. So it's like you say, it's an evolution, and I think they're piecing it together. I will say those first heavy putters that came out, I thought were so cool.
They really
were. They were so different. And I fear that even though they were really cool clubs that just market acceptance-wise, maybe they didn't get what they should have just because they were so different. But those were really out of the box. And you know, now you're seeing more conventional shapes and designs from them, which, and there's a certain reality that needs to be served too if you want to sell stuff.
That's right. Now, we're running out of time on the show, and there is something else we want to discuss, and that is scarecrows, as some people like to call it, or long putters, and Adam Scott making his run with one, doing well with one. Now Ernie, who's well known for saying that they should be banned years ago, now using one as well. What are your thoughts? I mean, when we were at Tavistock, we have pictures of Tiger Woods messing around with it on the putting green with Adam Scott and them laughing and having a good time. But the Masters shows that it's working for him.
Yeah, wow. And Ernie Els. Oh, boy. He was the anti-voice. I fear that we're going to see Tiger Woods breaking one of these out if things don't change soon.
Boy, the Tiger fans would not enjoy that at all.
I'm going to sound like a total hypocrite, which is, I guess, okay, since I'm well aware of it. But, you know, with so much on the line on tour, I say, you know, do whatever it takes. And I'm a big proponent of personal fitting and finding what works for you and exploring all the options on the table. But personally, I just, I don't like, well, I see that out on the, you know, the,
here's my take on
corner of Augusta National. I'm just like, it just feels wrong. It looks wrong.
Here's my take on a couple of things that I'll touch on. First, like you said, it's kind of okay that you're a hypocrite on it because you're saying it ahead of time. And I thought Ernie handled that well. He joked about it himself.
Oh, he did. Okay, good.
Second, I'm starting to see something here, and that is 7 of the top 24 golfers in the world are or have used one in the recent past, and that does not include Tim Clark, who's been using one for 12 years.
I didn't know that.
So it's starting to look like maybe this is not just a trend or an act of desperation or anything else, and that perhaps, just perhaps, this may be something that has some legs. People all the time when they hear long putters, they immediately talk belly putters and how they're anchored to the body and how that's different. This and that. That's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about a full length putter you know, chest putter,
your neck, yeah.
You know, 52 inches, whatever somebody's going to have in their bag. Maybe, just maybe, and I know people are like, well, it looks ridiculous. I got to tell you, I would hit the brick on the end of a stick for my driver if it made it go straight every time. And we always hear that I'll play anything as long as it makes me better, and then you bring up the long putters, like, oh, no, I can't do that. So I'm very intrigued by this.
You were, you know, calling me, what was it, a purist slash, I forget what it was.
Traditionalist.
Yeah. But just, yeah, just seeing that thing out there on Amen Corner, I'm just like, you know.
See, I guess for me it doesn't bother me. But I've always been, you know, I grew up playing blades, and I was the guy who said, oh, you know, real ball strikers strike blades, play blades and this and that. And then I realized how ridiculous that statement is. And now I've learned that onset's as big a crutch as offset and things like that. And you learn things as you go. And like you said, the guys on a tour, it's a livelihood. The difference in one putt could be the difference in millions of dollars.
Right.
And I am not going to tell a guy that it's an act of desperation because he wants to try something that has some legs and seems to have worked.
Yeah, I guess maybe I'm just, you know, I'm not clarifying as well as I should, but just, you know, there's part of me that kind of like, ugh. But I don't begrudge anyone, especially at that level, using one. And if it's not anchored, that sort of takes that argument away with regard
million
to...
Million-dollar question. You know, you're a recreational golfer.
Very recreational.
Somebody comes to you for a review of a long putter, a new company. We'll call them the Lion Golf Company, and they have this new product that's 50 inches long, but it makes more putts. And as always, with all our review things, we don't ever judge. We try everything out and give an unbiased review. But in your unbiased review process, you find out that you're making 2 to 3 more putts per round. Would you switch?
You had to ask that question.
Of course.
You know, I don't know. I like you say, I'm all about doing what works best for you and being fit for your putter and doing what it takes and raising your game that way if you can. And so, but there's still a part of me that at that point I might resist. Doesn't mean I would review the club any differently, but in terms of sticking it in my bag or having it stick out of my bag, I don't even know how you carry that thing. like a bow and arrow or something.
Yeah, kind of like your driver.
Yeah, you know, that would just, I like you said, I'm a recreational golfer. I've never claimed to be a great golfer. And so when I do get out, you know, I just don't know if I would want to play that.
I appreciate your honesty. I find it utterly ridiculous, but that's totally just different perspectives, because I don't care what I play as long as I score well, but I understand where you're coming from. Regardless, that is all the time we have this month. We are going to come back to you again next month with a whole other show. For myself at thehackersparadise.com and Sean at putterzone.com, don't fear the greens, conquer them. Goodbye, everybody.